broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great, good morning on this absolutely gorgeous day in Hawaii for a round of golf. If you'd like to play right now, there's an 844. This is at Maui Nui. They've aerated over at Wailea, and you can play after 11 o'clock for $55 on the gold course. Makaha East, there's the Jack and Jill tournament. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Kapolei, 8:38, and then afternoon, there's some tee times. And at Poipu Bay, the Southside Men's Club, they're teeing off this morning, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. We're off to an amazing show. We're starting off with Bob May, PGA Tour alum, tied for first at the PGA Championship in 2000, with a playoff against, yes, Tiger Woods. Bob May Golf Academy at Waikoloa Resort during the month of June to teach hackers or scratch golfers. We'll be talking with Bob right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, a store, or townhouse, custom or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right, so call Creative Plumbing, 841-3287. And by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, host to the Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities, Kauai's South Shore Jam. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home project into artwork. Futura Stone can build you a special place for your friends and family to gather. Barbecues, fountains, water features, and outdoor lighting. Futura Stone. Only the best.
And Brendel Chambly, Golf Channel golf analyst and author of The Anatomy of Greatness, Lessons from the Best Golf Swings in History, will be on the show later on. First, I'd like to introduce you to and welcome back to the show Bob May, PGA Tour alum, and Bob May Golf Academy at Waikoloa in the summer. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Absolutely. You know, I got to ask you, there's been so much talk about Tiger Woods with your playoff against him in 2000 for the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods talking about, well, not talking, everybody else is talking about him coming back in a couple of weeks. He was at a major junior golf event where he actually went through his bag, showed them all of his shots as he plays them now. Have you seen any of that video? What do you think of him coming back already?
Well, you know, I hadn't seen any of that video at all, but you know, I think it'd be great if he could get back, you know. You know, he's struggling from back pain. You know, I'm also a back pain person. You know, I've had surgery once in 2004, and I'm getting ready to have surgery after I get done with Hawaii this year. You know, I have no disc between L4 and L5 anymore. So, you know, golf swing, as much as we practiced and stuff, it's very hard on the back, hard on the knees, hard on the hips, shoulders. I mean, people don't think it's not a contact sport, but, you know, we swing so hard and create so much torque that it's hard on the joints.
And now, so, you know, as a man who's experienced, you were on a major medical exemption at one point. Was that 06? And then you played in 07, but couldn't keep your card because of the back injury. You must teach people a way to play this game that doesn't put that much torque on the back.
Well, we try to minimize it, you know. But, you know, you can't get someone just swinging with their arms, because if they just start swinging with their arms, then you get some bad habits. And so you've got to turn the trunk. You know, you got to stick to your core. And the best thing is, for most of my students that try to play competitively, is, you know, I try to get them to do Pilates or yoga, or if they work out, do a lot of core workout. You know, the core is so important in the golf swing, because it supports the swing, but it also supports your spine. And, you know, I think that will help injury. You know, some people get injured and some don't. I mean, you know, John Daly once said to me, you know, "Hey, Bob, I've never pulled fat before, but you guys all pull muscles, you know." So, I mean, all you can do is exactly laugh, because he's right.
So, you know, we talk about that too, you know. Sometimes people just choose, I'm not going to go in that fitness center. But, even though they may be big, it belies the strength of what you're talking about, their core. Just because they've got some padding doesn't mean they don't have strong muscles.
Absolutely. I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, John doesn't hit it far because, you know, he doesn't have muscle. I mean, he's a strong man. And, you know, just because he has a little coating over it, but I guarantee you, you know, you look at his lats underneath all that, and they're strong.
Exactly. Bob May is the 1999 British Masters champion. Bob May Golf Academy back in Hawaii this summer at Waikoloa Beach Golf Course from June 6th through July 4th. Now, when I opened the show, I said, you teach from hackers to the scratch golfers. For the guy who, or the gal who's at a three, can't get to scratch or can't get to, you know, just one more. I want to take one more stroke off my handicap. You take all comers.
I take all comers. You know, I want people to go out on the golf course and enjoy the 4 hours or 5 hours. You know, I wish it would be 3.5 hours, but, you know, I want them to go out there and enjoy that time they're out there. You know, people go, well, I don't need a lesson. And I tell them, well, you come off the golf course and you're frustrated. I said, why don't you get a lesson? And maybe you'll come off the golf course the 3.5 hours or 4 hours that you're out there and come out with a smile and actually enjoy the game, because you have something to work on where we could build a foundation for you. And when they look at it like that, I said, basically what you're doing is investing money into your free time. And, you know, when I say that to some people, they're like, you know what, that's right. You know, instead of going out and being frustrated for those 4 hours and I like the game, I'll come and get a lesson for an hour. And then next time I go back out, maybe I'll enjoy the game a little more.
And it's amazing what just a little tweak or something that you as the professional notice in the grip and the stance, in the way somebody's lining up, you know, their alignment. All of those little things can make a huge difference.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. I mean, just ball placement with some of these people, you know, I'll move the ball around, you know, and they'll go, oh my goodness, you know, I would have done, you know, because a lot of people do just the opposite, you know, and so it's like, no, you do it this way. And so it's just trying to show people, you know, how to make the game a little easier for them. The game's given me so much, and so I just want to give back to the game. And I enjoy it. I meet great people teaching them, you know, meet people all over the world, basically. You know, in that month in Hawaii, you know, it goes so fast because I'm enjoying my time so much over there, and the people that I meet over there. And so, I mean, I just can't wait to get back every year.
Do you mind? I just want to tell people, you know, Bob May Golf Academy back in Hawaii this summer, Waikoloa Beach Golf Course. That's on Hawaii. We lovingly call it the Big Island because it's the biggest island in Hawaii. All of the islands would fit in the Big Island. That's how large it is. It's where the volcano is erupting. It's where Kona is, Hilo is. Love Hilo. Bob May Academy returns on June 6th through July 4th. I imagine they should call the Waikoloa Beach Resort or the King's Course and say, hey, I'd like to take a lesson with Bob May.
They could do that, or they could call, they could get on the computer and go to Bob May Golf Academy, .com, and they could look up the phone number. The phone number is 702-595-1950. That is our cell phone number for the company, and I could book them right in too. So they could do either or. So,
great.
You
give
know,
me that number one more time.
The number is 702-595-1950.
Excellent. That's the Bob May Golf Academy. And Bob, you know, sometimes people are intimidated by the game because they're not of the quote unquote golf stature. They're not 6 feet tall. You know, but you're not, you're 5'7". So you're kind of a typical height. You're the average height, and people can relate to that rather than thinking that, you know, you've got to be this athletic person that you see on television.
Right. You know, I'm a shorter guy, and you know, I still create a lot of club head speed. Maybe not with these. I mean, back in the day, I think one time I was like 12th on the tour in driving distance at 298.
Wow.
Which back then was a long distance. You know, when we're talking, you know, 2007 or 6 or so. And now I think 298 is not even in the top 90 on the tour.
Well, but still, you know, I mean, it tells us that the stature, when we think of Lydia Ko, you know, she's, what, 5'2"? and she, you know, wails on it. So it's possible without having to have the height that some people associate it with length. When you think of Lexi Thompson, for instance, you know, she's tall, statuesque, and she bombs it. Dustin Johnson, another one, you know, tall, and he's got these long drives. Bubba Watson, long drives, tall people.
Right.
It's not necessary. The Bob May Academy returning to Waikoloa this summer. The program covers everything, etiquette to the mental game, putting, driver, irons, you name it, Bob May covers it. Can I ask you a question that came up when I was watching Golf Channel this morning on putting?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody just said the importance of not being result-oriented is important in putting. The more reactionary you make putting, the more you'll make. And I was trying to figure that out.
Well, a lot of it is people are trying to force the ball in the hole. So you get fixated on the hole, and you're not fixated on... For me, I like to see the ball rolling the whole way, from the ball to the hole. And it's not just to the hole, it's to a certain part of the hole. You know, how many times do you go out and you put a tee in the green, and you sit there and you hit the tee, you know, from 3 feet one time after another, bang, bang, bang. Then you go to a hole, and you start missing. Because what you're trying to do is fit it in a hole from the left edge to the right edge, and you're not focusing on that precise part of the hole you want the ball to go in. So, you know, what I do with the kids is I'll put a tee right in the middle of the hole and say, hit the tee. And if they don't hit the tee, the ball's still going in the hole because they're focused on a smaller part of the hole. So I like to get my kids and my students, older students, to focus on a precise point which they want the ball to fall in the hole, not just the whole hole.
So you're making the target smaller.
Absolutely.
Well, see, that's interesting because they're all talking about making the hole larger, you know, but I can see that when you make the target, the hole in your mind, smaller than what is there as the hole that is there, it's bigger.
Right, right. I mean, the other day I put a tee there, or my chapstick there, and I told them, you know, the young person was having a hard time hitting it. As soon as I put my chapstick there, boom, hit it, went down in the hole, fell underneath one of the cups, and you couldn't get it out. You know, but their focus narrowed. So that's the problem, is you got to narrow your focus. It's just like on a tee shot. If you're aiming just to try to get it in between the left rough and right rough line, there's no telling where it's going to go. If you aim down the left center at a certain part of the fairway or a target and stay there, the fairway becomes a lot bigger because you're narrowing your focus.
Excellent.
And that's what it's all about.
Excellent. The person with this fabulous tip is Bob May. And Bob May Golf Academy is back in Hawaii this summer from June 6th through July 4th at Waikoloa Beach Golf Course. Where do you live? Where do you normally teach if someone's on the mainland on the 48 contiguous states? They wanted to come over and see you.
I teach it at in Las Vegas, Nevada, is where I teach. I'm with Elite Golf, is a company that we have several golf courses here in Las Vegas. And so, I teach here at the Badlands right now in Las Vegas, Nevada.
You know, that is the ninth island.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. In fact, I ate at L&L last night.
Do you get a lot of people who come over to Hawaii for the four-day gambling junket to stop by at your place?
Absolutely. I have a few students that come on a normal basis from Hawaii, and... You know, it's great to see them come over here, and so then I also get to see them when I go back to Hawaii.
That's great. Okay. Well, it costs about as much to fly to Vegas as it does to fly to the Big Island if you live anywhere. So it's perfect. And everybody can get their what is it called, with gambling, I'll just call it that, their gambling fix, because we love to. You've got something else in your stable, so to speak, tools that you use. What's Ping In-Flight?
Ping In-Flight is just a fitting program for Ping, for their golf clubs to fit them. So it's just a kind of a computer a program that we run off of our TrackMan. So I do have a TrackMan, which is, you know, the state-of-the-art technology for golf.
Excellent. Some of these, TrackMan is something that most average people can't really afford, but they're coming out with these little itty bitty like TrackMans in a way that'll tell what do you think of the smaller technologies?
Well, the smaller technology, I mean, I don't really want to knock it, but you know, you're paying $200 or $300 for these little machines, and they're supposed to give you all this great information, or you put it in the butt end of your club, this, that, and the other.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put my trust in a machine that's $25,000.
Okay.
You know, there's a big difference. I've had students bring their little machines and stuff, and the numbers, some of the numbers are not even close. Some of them aren't too bad, but I mean, if you're trying to be precise, there's you know, really nothing better than a TrackMan.
Gotcha. Bob May loves motorcycles, mountain bikes, boating, and off-road cars. You know, I love knowing what you, Bob May, you know, like to do in addition to playing golf. I'm a horse person. You know, I love riding horses. You're out there on your motorcycle, your mountain bike, off-road car. Can you still do all of that with your back?
Absolutely. My back only bothers me in rotation. So if I'm rotating or twisting, you know, it's funny you say that. I just came off the racetrack 2 days ago on my motorcycle. So my motorcycle riding is actually riding super bikes on a racetrack.
Wow. How fast do you go?
We get up to probably 160, 170 miles an hour down the straightaways.
Wow, that is awesome. You can't take anybody on the back of the bike going that
speed. No, these are full race bikes, you know, made for the track, not for the street. So it's dangerous. You're in full leathers. You know, you're just like the guys you watch on TV at, you know, the MotoGP stuff. We just, you know, I'm not that good. Obviously, I'd love to be, but... you know, so it's just fun. It's a challenge. For me, it's like a challenge like golf, because I want to be good at it. But the problem is there's danger involved. The faster you go, the more chances you take of getting in a wreck.
Yeah.
You know, by yourself. So,
yeah. And you've got a family.
I've got a family, but you know, I used to ride a lot on the street and do a lot of long distance riding. And I got into the track riding just a year ago, and it's really the safest place, because if you do go off, there's runoff for you. It's usually just going to be yourself, you know, pushing yourself, trying to get to that next level. And that's what really drives me, is I'm trying to get that next level, just like in golf.
Bob May, always the competitor. I mean, if you're not going to compete on the circuit in professional golf, then you're going to compete on a motorcycle. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to ask you, this year with the Olympics, they've got the U.S. Open June 16. There's a WGCA thrown in there June 30th. The Open's July 14th. The PGA Championship is July 28th. Then we get into the Olympics 2 weeks or a week later on August 11th. Would you do that full? Would you go to the Olympics given the schedule?
Absolutely. You got to be at the Olympics. I was hoping to be in the Olympics when I was an amateur golfer, you know, because they talked about it way back then, and it's just never happened. It's finally happening. I think this is great for golf.
It is great. Bob May is a victorious 1991 Walker Cup team member, and seeing the juniors coming out now that you see, and having been through the collegiate golf, are they being trained differently? Is it because they start young? What is going on that's making some of these superstars?
Well, I think what it is that they realize that, you know, at a young age, see, back when I was in junior golf and coming up through college, it wasn't, you know, everyone thought you had to go to college to turn pro to get better. You know, now some of these kids, you know, college is, are they going to get better, or are they going to get better by going straight to the tour? Some of them are so good. You know, so it becomes a lifestyle at a young age. And, you know, for me, you know, I had that desire when I was younger. Me not being a great student, it might have been better for me to turn pro, but I elected to go to college. You know, I committed to golf when I was 12 years old, and that's the only thing I did. And, you know, I know a lot of these people say, the kids ought to play multiple sports. But if you really want to be that good at it, you know, there's nothing wrong with dedicating yourself at an early age and just focusing on it. But the kid has got to want it and love it. If it's not the child's choice, don't push it on them. I hate nothing more than to see a kid that's being pushed into a game that is the dream of the parent. I want it to be the dream of the child.
Excellent. I really appreciate that advice. And I'd like to close now and just remind everybody that Bob May, PGA Tour alum, tied for first at the PGA Championship in 2000 playoff against Tiger Woods. We know the result. Bob May Golf Academy will be at the Waikoloa Resort during the month of June to teach hackers or scratch golfers. You're all welcome to come. Give them a call at Waikoloa, or you call this number, 702-595-1950, and make your appointment to see Bob May, Bob May Golf Academy. He's in Las Vegas at Badlands Elite Golf, and he's here in Hawaii at Waikoloa Beach Golf Course from June 6th through June 4th. Thanks for being with us.
You got it. It's great being on the show.
Awesome. Look forward to seeing you one day.
Aloha. Yeah, please come out and see me.
That'd be great. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk a little bit about why are those LPGA purses so much smaller than the PGA Tour purses? Right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futuristone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futuristone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futuristone. 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futuristone. Only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
You know, the Lotte was just in Hawaii, and Minji Lee, she was at the top at the first round, went down, then came back, surged on, won at Lotte, and look, here she is over at Swinging Skirts in San Francisco, Haru Nomura, and Minji Lee, and Nayeon Choi, and Soyo Ryu, and Karin Icher, and Jarena Pillar, and Brittany Lang, and then there's Lydia Ko. This is a really tight leaderboard, but Hara Nomura has a three-stroke lead. Minji Lee is tied with Nayeon Choi and Soyo Ryu. We've got Lydia Ko in the hunt. She's four strokes back, but it doesn't really matter that she's four strokes back. It's only Saturday, and Lydia Ko is probably the best golfer on the planet. I'm bringing in Peter Bukowski, Associate Editor of Golf.com for Sports Illustrated, member of the Society for Professional Journalists and Pro Football Writers of America. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Stacey Lewis opened up about the question about why are the purses so much smaller when the quality of golf on the LPGA is at least as good as the PGA Tour. And in fact, as I said, would you say Lydia Ko is the best golfer on the planet right now?
it's hard to make the case against it. My colleague Jeff Ritter wrote an article about a year ago basically saying she's better right now in the women's game than Tiger Woods was, certainly at that age. It's really incredible what she's doing, and really, she should be, if not the most famous female athlete on the planet, she should be one of the top three, and she's not.
And why is that? I still haven't figured it out. She keeps getting on those lists of most influential people, but I don't see her making the influences that you would expect from someone who at the age of 14 won her first professional event.
I think part of it is that the women's game in golf has been subjugated as lesser than. And you hear it, and I wrote a column about it. It's not even – usually when we talk about women's sports, there's not even an attempt to veil the sexism that's associated with it. Like in other areas, you know, when we talk about equal pay for men and women in jobs other than sport, usually people go out of their way to veil their biases on this issue, but they don't when it comes to women's sports. Oh, they're not as exciting. They're not as good. It's not as fun to watch. It's like you haven't watched them. You haven't watched Lydia Ko. You didn't watch Lydia Ko come back and watch the leader collapse for her to win with an incredible shot on the 18th. You haven't seen some of these players, the quality of golf that they play. And it's interesting because the parallel to me is tennis. And we're going on the second, maybe even the third generation of women's tennis players that are considered equal to their male peers, if not, I mean, Serena Williams,
more
but even
so.
Before Serena Williams, we go back 30, 40 years and women's tennis players were considered just as great as the male tennis players. In golf, we don't have that. And I think some of it is the built-in sexism of golf as a game. There are still clubs around the world where women are fighting to become members. And until we change some of that stuff, I don't know how this changes.
I get you. And what I find even more fascinating is that in Japan, the women's tour is more respected and exciting to the fans,
yeah.
Right? And in Asian cultures, aren't the men the dominant sex? So it doesn't make any
Very
sense,
much so.
Right? So it's kind of odd that in, you know, the Korea LPGA, the Japan LPGA, they're the stars of golf, and when they come home, they get these amazing welcomes. There's, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, you know, bringing them to the. And here we just don't seem to doesn't translate. And so I was asking myself, is it because they're too good? They make it look. I mean, they hit the ball and it goes in the middle of the fairway, and then they get to the green, and then. Well, we're watching it, some of the guys like bonk, bonk all over the place, and they managed to pull it off. I don't know.
I think there is some of that. You know, truly, when you watch, you know, even Tiger Woods now, there is something, there's this like schadenfreude of his failures. You watch him get up to the tee and you have no idea where the ball is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something that's exciting to fans about that. Look, when you watch on TV, Dustin Johnson hitting the ball 340 doesn't translate.
No.
It doesn't. Like, you just don't, you can't tell on TV how cool that is.
I know.
And unless you're a golfer, you don't know how awesome that is. And you watch the women's tour events, and they just play every hole tee to green.
Yeah.
And I think some people just think that, like, that's not as exciting, but don't conflate that with not as good.
Exactly. And okay, so the premise of your article, you know, Stacey Lewis, what did she say?
Well, she said, look, you look at the stats, and I'm hitting more fairways than Jordan Spieth. I'm getting tee to green better than the best player in the men's game, and the women are doing the same. Why are we not paid the same? And this is interesting because Stacey opened up to my colleague, Marisha Washington, and we discussed what she said before it even became public. And we have this conversation in the office. And I was the one making the argument, well, people aren't watching and the revenue's not the same. And then I thought, wait a second, why is that? Why are people not watching? Why are the revenues not the same? And that's the problem. Because Stacey Lewis will be the first to tell you that the eyeballs are not the same. And as a result, the revenue generated is not the same. But the reasons for that is why we have to look at this problem, because the reasons are pretty clear. people have this bias against the women's game as not less as less than in general. And the point of that I wanted to make was, look, if you want the pay gap to narrow, and you should, but I think that's a given, then you have to start paying attention. You have to care. And I made a point to say, look, Sports Illustrated and Golf.com, we have to care more. And other media outlets have to care more. We have to cover the game in the same way. And the example I used was Lydia Ko won in New Zealand. She won a whopping $33,000 for her troubles. And she donated it to the victims of an earthquake that had happened just before she teed off. And she won. And if Tiger Woods had done that, or any male golfer had done that, it would have led SportsCenter.
Yep.
And so why are we not giving that sort of incredible moment the same sort of coverage? We should be.
And I ask myself all the time when I was at Lotte, I'm scrambling. I'm a guest-driven show, right? So
yeah.
I'm scrambling to find people who will sit down at the table with me and talk. Where is the media? No one's coming from the media outlets. The women's tour has a, whenever you, maybe you're there. Maybe Steve DiMeglio's there. Maybe one person sometimes goes to some of them, but it doesn't seem like there's enough of the outlets sending and spending the money to send a reporter so that we get the kind of coverage the PGA Tour gets. Hmm.
Well, and part of it is a chicken and the egg problem, right? I mean,
if you're
a media company, you say, well, people aren't going to care. Mm. Well, how are they going to care if you don't present them with the information? And this is sort of a problem in general in the media, because we have this thing where we say, okay, well, there's part of this is a business, right? There's revenue for us that's at stake here. But how can I care about something I don't know about?
Exactly.
And how can I care about characters? Because there aren't, Hannah Jang is, I don't care how good her English is. She's such a great person to listen to. When she did the single ladies dance and made a joke after the round about wanting to play with Adam Scott, that's amazing. That's so great. Like, don't tell me they're not as fun and entertaining. She made an ace on a par four.
That's amazing. Amazing.
It's amazing, and people don't seem to care, and it's hard for me. And look, I've been at Sports Illustrated for several years now, but I just started covering golf in the last few months, and it was hard for me to walk into that landscape and see how little coverage there was, despite the fact that when I watch them play, I go, I wish I could do that. And I'm really lucky, because my girlfriend was a Division I golfer. She played at Drake. She was on the first Drake women's golf team. And it was important to her that she was there, and she was gonna help set a precedent for female golfers at Drake, which is where Zach Johnson went, if people in your audience don't know that. And I love to play with her. I love it. And she beats me up and down the course, and I don't care. And look, she plays just like you see the women on TV. She plays tee to green. And that part bugs me, because she just makes it look so easy. I'm like, Elena, this game should not be this easy.
How do you do it? How do you do it? That's what we all, it's like, how do you do it? And I am seeing more men starting to say, I prefer watching the women's game at my house.
It's more relatable. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yes, it's more relatable. So I do think that I don't. So in other words, but what I liked about your article is basically you said to me, stand up, look in the mirror, and you're the reason why the women's game isn't being paid more. The women on the tour, they're not being paid what the men on the tour are being paid. Because, Danielle, you don't care enough.
Right.
And so everybody needs to stand up and say, you don't care enough. Now, the question then turns into, do we care as a society that women aren't paid as much as the men? And we've been working on this. What do we make, 78 cents to the dollar?
Yep. Yeah. But so here's the funny thing, Danielle, is I had people in my Twitter mention, which is always, a great place for productive conversation.
Yes.
saying, well, the men are better.
Ah.
And so even if I granted that the men are better, even if I granted you that, the pay gap is a factor of three. There is no universe wherein the men on the PGA Tour are three times better than the women. That's just, like, not a thing. And so even if you believe that the men are better and therefore in a free market society should be paid more, that's fine, I guess, but they're not three times better. So there's still a problem here that we're unwilling to reckon with. And the fact that the sort of default argument is that, well, they're not as good, just dismisses the whole argument on its face. And that's part of the problem. And I have a solution. I think I'm gonna write about, and I won't give it all away.
Okay, I understand.
But the women's in tennis, the men and the women have the same purse at majors, at the Grand Slam event. And part of the reason, obviously, is that the women's game draws just as much attention, if not more, because of people like Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova and stuff like that. But there's no reason why the USGA, who has apparently tried to make an effort, and we have Diana Murphy now, the female head of the USGA, there's no reason why we couldn't have the US Open the same way they have the Career Builder, where you play Thursday at Pebble and Friday at Spyglass, or whatever it is. Why couldn't you have a joint US Open event?
Absolutely. No, I agree, like Pinehurst, but,
yeah.
But you know, instead of being back-to-back. And I do see the PGA of America stepping up with the KPMG PGA Women's Championship, where they actually are increasing the purse. You know,
yeah.
So
there's steps being taken. We're just not there yet.
No.
And the reason I like the joint event is then if you're a spectator or you're a viewer, you're going to get both. And that exposure is what we have to increase. That exposure, you can go to the U.S. Open in Flushing in Queens. You're in New York, and you're going to go and just watch tennis, right? I mean, you don't really care. You bought your Thursday ticket. You're going to go and see Federer, or you're going to see Djokovic, or you're going to see Serena, or whoever else. It should be the same in golf. If you like golf, if you like men's golf, you should like women's golf. That's sort of the overarching point here. And there's no reason why we have to separate them as less than or greater than.
Yeah, and the alliance between the LPGA and the PGA Tour, I think, is significant in this conversation, which I had last week with Mike Wan, where, you know, let's have an alliance. We don't know how we're going to do this. We don't know how we're going to mix it up. But, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, have team events or, you know, match up guys and girls and you know, just, I don't know how it would work, but it's that kind of conversation. And these young players they're not stuck in, I'm going to call it tradition, the way it's always been done.
Yeah.
I think they're much more open to, you know, playing some different sort of event and then bringing it to. But the USGA has absolutely no excuse for not having the same purse for the men and women.
And you know what's interesting is when did Annika and Michelle Wee get the most mainstream media attention? When they played on the men's tour.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah.
And this was something we saw. I mean, this is the battle of the sexes in tennis. And that put women's tennis on the map a little bit. And you listen to Stacey Lewis, the comments that she made. And I urge you to go watch the interview with Marika and just listen to her talk. It's sort of like I'm willing to do this. Let's go. Put me out there with the men and I'll show you. And I think more and more women feel that way. And I think that would just be great. They are ready to compete and they want to compete. And it would just be great. Wouldn't you love to see Lydia Ko and Jordan Spieth on the same tour, or not on the same tour, but at the same event,
yes,
playing the same course?
Yes.
That would be incredible.
Yes. And Michelle Wee was just a little bit too young, a little ahead of her time. You know, the idea of, she was too young to do it because she wasn't the mature woman to have all the tools in her bag to take it. Peter Bukowski, associate editor, golf.com for Sports Illustrated. You must be a guest on my show again.
I will definitely.
Okay, good. Great conversation with you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to come back and talk with Glenn Inouye. He's a dentist. What is he doing on a golf show? He's a golf coach for Iolani School. And after Glenn, we'll be talking with Brandel Chambly about his book that's just out. And it's all about, well, the anatomy of greatness. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative! Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
You know how he said Creative Plumbing? Yeah, that's how I feel about the guys over at Creative Plumbing. Okay, so, yeah. Thank you very much. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, there's a 9:20, an 11:30, a 12 o'clock, and Vokey Wedges 109. That's a deal. Glenn Inoue is a dentist, Omura and Inoue Inc., and he's Coach Glenn. Varsity boys and girls golf coach at Iolani School for the past 10 years. He doesn't get paid to do that. You know, that's something that most people don't think about. Welcome to the show, Glenn.
Thank you, Danielle.
Absolutely. Glad you, this week at Turtle Bay, the ILH Varsity Championships were held.
Yes.
That must have been wonderful to be a part of.
It was. It was, boys and girls, of course, they always do well.
I was looking at some of the scores, and then I thought, okay, let's start off with the women. We were just talking with Peter about, you know, women's and men's golf. you know, we've got some powerhouses on the women's side, and Marielle Galdiano is certainly one of them. This is her third year winning, right? The ILH Girls Champ. Third year. Just amazing. I'm not sure if it was done, but Allison Corpuz gave her a real run for her money. And Allison was at the Lotte over at Ko'olina last week, right?
That's right.
And I'm sure that not making the cut just fueled her fire.
Yeah, she played well the second day. She's low scorer. I think she shot 2 under 70. So she made it exciting. I think at the end she made an eagle on the 18th hole that forced Mariana to make par.
Exactly. I mean, there's competition here, and Iolani's Chloe Wong came in third to those two who were battling out at the top. That must make you feel really good inside. How long have you been coaching, Chloe?
Actually, I am mainly the boys' coach. We have Kevin Ng, who also coaches. He handles the girls. I used to coach both boys and girls, but that's back when we had maybe two or three girls on the team.
Because it wasn't Iolani an all boys school, and then the girls came in.
Yeah, but I guess at that time we didn't have as many girls coming out for golf as we do now. So now with 7 and 8 girls on the team, to handle 15 kids, it's a little more difficult than before. So we split up the responsibility, have two head coaches, one for boys and one for girls.
Smart. So just to wrap up the varsity championship at Turtle Bay Golf Course, the ILH,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had Aiko Leong. She was in fourth. And Kristen Miyagi from Iolani was fifth. A great showing, Iolani School. And Punahou, of course, has always been one of those, you know, just strong schools that one's always trying to knock down.
especially for the past 4 years, Marielle and Allison, they've been exceptional. So, I think Marielle will be going for her fourth straight state individual title next week.
And that's
at Wailua Golf Course.
Then now this is where we've got coming up at Wailua is the David Ishii Foundation, Hawaii High School Athletic Association Golf Championship. And I just wanted to ask you, what has David Ishii's foundation done for this event?
Well, it's up the level, I think, for one thing. In prior years, the state tournament didn't really have the notoriety and prestige as it does now. I think any junior who wants to do anything at the next level aspires to win this tournament because it has become such a prestigious title to have beside your name. And also, on the other end, for a lot of these seniors, this may be the last competitive tournament they'll be playing in their life. So for them to experience something like this, it's just terrific. And it's all because of what David has done by sponsoring this.
And there's a lot of support within the community that he's been able to embrace, kind of wrap around and bring together to this one focus to make the high school golf very important. The David S. Ishii Foundation Hawaii High School Athletic Association State Tournament is May 2nd through the 5th at Wailua on Kauai. It's girls and then boys. Is that how it's separated?
Yes. Girls go first at Monday and Tuesday, and boys follow on Wednesday and Thursday.
Now, when you're coaching the kids and they're having, you know, you work with them as a team, what is your main job? What is your goal?
Of course, our goal is always to win the state tournament. But it's mainly a team goal to win the team title. Not so much individual. I think individual, if you do well individually, it kind of works out for the team also. And we like to stress team rather than individual accomplishment. So our goal every year is to have a representative team in the state tournament.
A representative team. So do you play them in different orders or match them up in groups that will enhance each other's strengths?
Not necessarily. It takes, during the regular season, there's five boys that make up a team, and we take the best four scores. For the girls, it's five girls, best three scores. So for the state tournament, it's ideally you'd like to have five players so that you can drop maybe the high score.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So our goal always every year is to qualify as many players as we can for the state tournament.
And how do they qualify?
They qualify throughout the season. You qualify individually by taking the best average of the best four scores of eight
This year we had 8 total tournaments. So if you play 8, we take your best 4 scores.
Gotcha. And then you figure out who's got the top 4 scores, and those 5 will then go. Dr. Glenn
Correct.
Inoue is a dentist, but he's Coach Glenn at Iolani School Golf. And the team, he coaches the boys. And is it Kevin?
Kevin Ng.
Kevin Ng coaches the girls. And how much time do you spend a week doing this?
We practice about 4 times a week. Of course, that's after school. So normally from 4 to 6 o'clock.
Wow. So you're working your regular job, and then you go out and you coach, and then you're at all the tournaments. I really want to thank you so much for all the work that you do, Coach Glenn.
Oh, no, thank you.
It's awesome. Dr. Glenn Inoue, a dentist, and Coach Glenn at Iolani School. And if you're curious, you're looking for a dentist, it's Omura and Inoue Inc., DDS. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the plug, Danielle.
Absolutely. We've got the phone ringing, and Raphael has walked out of the studio, so we need to get him on the line here. And I'm not sure. Just stand by one moment, and I want to thank – I'm talking to the person who I just put on hold. Thank you, Glenn Inoue, for being on the show. Really appreciate your comments and your words about the work that all of you coaches do in high school, both, you know, around all the sports, in addition to, of course, having your own jobs that you have to do. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha. We're going to come back and talk about the greatest swings in history. A gentleman that you all know, Brandel Chambly, author of The Anatomy of Greatness, Lessons from the Best Golf Swings in History, is on next, and it's a real pleasure to have him. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
If you'd like to play a round at Volcano, there's a 10:30 and an 11:10. Makalei has a 10:10. Poipu Bay has an 11:30, 12 o'clock, 12:10, I believe that is. Southside Men's Club, may you all hit the sweet spot every time they're going out to play. And at Makaha East, it's the Jack and Jill tournament, ditto to you. And that sweet spot is what we're going to be talking with. Of course, it's gotten a lot bigger over the last 15 years. Used to be if you could get that sweet spot. Now the sweet spot's gotten a whole lot bigger. But The Anatomy of Greatness, Lessons from the Best Golf Swings in History, is what we want to talk about now. Author, and of course, you know, Golf Channel golf analyst, Brandel Chambly. He's, you know, one of the people who has most astute eye, and sometimes he says things that people go, whoa. Brandel, welcome to the show.
It's always nice to be on your show, and that 11:30 tea time at Poipu sounded pretty nice. I wish I was somewhere in that vicinity. I would take you up on that.
I'm glad. So your book has come out. It's the first book that you've written, I believe. Is this your first or second?
No, this is the first book I have written. I had this book in my mind for almost a decade, and I really, really wanted to read it, and it wasn't out there, so I decided to write it myself.
Okay, what did you want to read?
I wanted to read a book that unearthed the commonalities of the greatest players of all time. I believe that the Hall of Fame was screaming at today's teachers and today's players that they're missing an opportunity to expound on the previous generation's successes, and that it was a permanent blind spot of this generation. So I went looking and found some, I think, wonderfully obvious and helpful things, and I wrote about them.
The Anatomy of Greatness is the name of the book, Lessons from the Best Golf Swings in History. So without giving away your book, because we want people to get it, what is one of the commonalities that we can talk about?
Well, I guess if you look at the greatest players of all time, there is a flow from the time they pull the club out of the bag until the shot is in the air. One motion leads to the next. There is no downtime. There is no static position in the game. And if you look at the landscape of professional golf today, there is a lot of downtime. Very few people waggle anymore. They'll stand the ball incessantly. They may look at the target, but they're standing over the ball. They'll hold the club tightly and then begin the golf swing in a very fast, hurried pace. And it looks rigid, and it looks like they're thinking about the golf swing. Ideally, you should pull the club out. There should be some sort of motion as they're settling into the ball. There should be some motion to kickstart the backswing. The backswing should flow. It should be much bigger than the backswings of today. There should be much more turn with the lower body, which in turn gives much more turn with the upper body, which in turn gives you a lot more speed and time and space to make corrections, and a lot higher ball flight. And in the end, less stress on the body. The golf swings that I write about are the ones that not only were the most successful, but the ones that endured with little or no pain or practice, for that matter. Bobby Jones, hardly practiced. Once he found what it was that he was looking for in the game, Byron Nelson famously only hit about 6 balls before each of the 11 events he won in a row, and he didn't practice afterwards. So that is the golf swing that stood up and required little maintenance.
It seems you're talking about fluidity that used to exist that doesn't exist today.
That's exactly right. That's the word. It really is. There is a fluidity that is missing in golf today. There is a rigidity that exists in golf today. There is a hyper-correctness that exists in golf today. One of those is when you see players set up to the ball, and there was a teacher that came into the Golf Channel about a month or so ago, 2 months ago, and he was sitting in the green room, and I was just making small talk with him before he went out and did a show, and I asked him what he was talking about. And he said, "I'm talking about Adam Scott's setup. I mean, what is there to find fault with that? It's perfect." And he went on and on and on and on. And I didn't say anything, but I thought, that is the perception, is that these perfect angles, the straight back, is perfection. And it's, to me, I don't see perfection there. I see rigidity. I see tension. And it has absolutely nothing in common with the greatest players of all time. Jack Nicklaus had a rounded back. Byron Nelson had a rounded back. Ben Hogan had a rounded back. Sam Snead had a rounded back. Bobby Jones had a rounded back. Kerry Mulkoff had a rounded back. Tom Watson had a rounded back. Every single great player, Tiger Woods in 2001, had a rounded back. Tiger Woods did not have a straight back until he began listening to these snake oil salesman to line up and tell him if he has a perfectly straight back, then that is one of the angles taken care of, which leads to a perfectly on-plane backswing. I don't know if the latter part of that's true or not, but the first part of it is a lie that leads to other compensations in the golf swing, all having to do with tension. Which the best in the world got around because they set up in a relaxed motion with their back rounded, much like a pitcher as he begins the motion to throw the ball, or a quarterback as he begins the motion to throw a football. their back is rounded. And it's only in the transition from the loading phase to the delivering phase that there is expansion. That expansion through the shoulders has a lot of different names in the technobabble of the science world of sport. But basically, it's going from relaxed to expansion. And that gives you power. And if you go from expanded already, you miss the expansion, and you do so with tension. So that's just one of the areas that today's players are impoverished over two generations ago.
Randall Chambly, author of The Anatomy of Greatness, Lessons from the Best Golf Swings in History. Randall, it almost sounds like you're taking on an industry that doesn't want to be put out of business. But I can absolutely understand what you're saying, because since having watched recently the game on television and the players, I find myself when I set up that I'm trying to make my back perfectly straight and get position in perfect position. And I don't feel like I'm all tense. So that when I do finally swing the club, I'm all out of, I have no rhythm.
Well, if you stand with a perfectly straight back, the upper parts of your arms are not in the places that they need to be to start the backswing to begin with. One, they're tense, but two, the upper parts of your arms are more on your side instead of the front of your body. If you stand with a sort of curved upper back and a flat lower back, which is what you get if you stand correctly, then the upper part of your arms hang naturally in front of your chest, and they're free to move down and up. But when they're on your chest, they run into the left side of your chest. So they have to get around. That's why you see so many players swing much, much flatter now than they used to. So there are so many things that are cumulative in this game. From the time you take hold of the golf club, which is, again, where most players err today, until impact. But they're cumulative. And if you get them right, the game is very simple. It is very simple. And you can play it. Tom Watson tried to swing the golf club like Sam Snead. Now, did he look like Sam Snead? No, he didn't. But it took extra holes for this generation to beat a player for two generations or three generations ago in a major championship. It took, you know, supposedly this generation is the best generation of golfers ever. Well, I don't believe so, because how can a 59-year-old man beat them in a major championship? All but one, they had to go into extra holes. He's better because he tried to swing like Sam Snead, Tom Watson.
Yes.
But he didn't look like Sam Snead. He didn't. There's a difference between trying to emulate and try to copy. Sam Snead is the player that you would like to try to emulate. And almost everything in my book, he did. He had a stronger grip. He had a move that started his backswing. He lifted his left heel. He turned his hips. He had an upright swing. He had all the time in the world to make the transition from backswing to downswing. He kicked the right knee out before he kicked it in. That gives him that bow that so many teachers fall in love with, that bow in his legs. That bow is very important. You only get to kick the right knee one time in your downswing because most of the players today resist with the lower body. They kick it to begin the downswing, and they waste that movement. They waste it. That movement needs to come at a critical time, and you're not going to do it if you restrict the lower body. So all this is in my book in great detail, and I went to great pains to find pictures to elaborate, because some things are far easier to demonstrate than they are to articulate. So whatever ambiguity exists in the text, I hope that the pictures make up for.
Excellent.
The pictures were not that easy to find, but they were a joy to find.
I bet, because, you know, today we have pictures everywhere, thousands, millions, billions of pictures. But back in the day when the men that you're talking about, the photography just wasn't...
That's true. And a lot of those people that you would like to get pictures from, they've tied it up to an extent that you can't get it. But it took some time, but we were able to pretty much piece together all the pictures of all the pieces of the puzzle and show literally the ubiquity, the almost plagiaristic view of all of these players when they're at the top of their golf swing, for example, and how it differs from today. I mean, if you look at the guys who've won the 50 most tournaments in the history of the PGA Tour, 47 of them lift their lead heel and turn their hips far more than is recommended today. 47. I mean, the ubiquity of that move, the plagiaristic look of those players is enough to convince me. And
excellent.
Nobody does. Nobody does it today. So
I've got it.
Why I wrote the book.
I've got to say that I opened with the sweet spot, having gotten so much bigger. When you say this generation, you know, people call them the best golfers, it takes away the equipment factor. And if you had this generation playing with the clubs that that generation was playing with, when you actually had to have, you know, contact with the ball in a small sweet spot, we'd be talking a different group of people. I don't know who they would be.
There are a lot of things that make all the athletes better today. Certainly better equipment, sports-specific bodies. And then there's the training in the gym. But in this particular instance, the technique that professional golfers are using today is impoverishing them. And it's not just happening in golf. The science world has invaded tennis. And to hit his forehands more in the center of the racket, whereas before he used to hit them in the lower third of his racket, which gave him more topspin, which gave him the highest net clearance of anybody in tennis. But once he was convinced to start hitting more in the center, because he was scientist who argued and won over Nadal, he lost in the French, where he had dominated the French. But he had more hits in the center. This sort of scientific world is what's going on in sport. And the players are not standing up going, I'm sorry, that may work in theory, but in practice, this is how you play the game.
Is that why you like Tathata golf? Because of the fluidity?
Well, I like Tathata golf because it's a peaceful place from which to begin the game. And at the time, and this is going back about 4 or 5 years ago, it was one of the only few philosophies out there that moved off of the ball. It seemed like the whole world was drunk on staying centered or even hanging to the left, thinking no movement was the way to go. And Tathata golf at the time, and still now, had this philosophy that you should move off of the golf ball. And I so enjoyed listening to anybody that had any thought that moved along those lines, because the idea of hanging left is so pernicious to the game of golf and to everything that is fun in the game, and so at polls with what the best did, I was looking for anybody that had that philosophy. There are a number of things about the thought of golf that I enjoy. But, you know, with any group of instructors, there's going to be things that you don't necessarily agree with.
Sure.
I agree with what the greatest players of all time did, in its most ubiquitous commonalities are in my book. Those are the things that I completely agree with.
And this is The Anatomy of Greatness. That's the name of the book. The author is Brandel Chamblee, PGA Tour and Golf Channel analyst. You can see him, golfchannel.com contributor. The Anatomy of Greatness, lessons from the best golf swings in history. May I ask you what you think of Tiger Woods' swing that you've probably watched from the youth event that he went to? And if you think it's a good idea that he may actually start playing competitively in a couple of weeks?
Well, I've only seen the little video clips here or there that have popped up. I did see the one that he posted, and it looked like an old man with a bad back trying to make a golf swing. You know, unfortunately for him, the game under the best of circumstances is not kind, or athletics are not kind under the best of circumstances to any 40-year-old person. But when you've been dealt with the physiological blows that Tiger has been dealt with, and then the psychological blows that he's been dealt with, that is the perfect storm to rob somebody of their game. His golf swing to me looks awful. It looks tight and to the inside and labored. There are just many things about it that look sad to me.
Mm-hmm.
If it were my job to get Tiger Woods to swing the golf club anywhere near the way he used to, I would
first of all, try to get his body as slim and as sinewy as it was in 1997. And he's, you know, 30, 40 pounds still away from that, even not training to the extent that he is. So it was the, and I, look, I used his golf swings from 96 and 97. I actually believe he swung better then than he swung in 2000, 2001. You know, he was 40 or 50 yards longer on average. When he won, when he played the Masters in 1996, he averaged 346 off the tee. That was the player that Jack and Arnold both predicted would win 11 Masters. The next year we won by 12, he averaged 323 off the tee. That collectively, that was 46 and 23 yards longer than anybody else. When he won in 2002, he averaged 297 off the tee. So the better golfer, the longer golfer, the better golf swing to me existed in 96, 97 with a sinewy, long-limbed golf swing. So that's the golf swing and the body that Tiger Woods systematically over time ruined. First of all, I'd try to get his body back to where it was before because he can't swing like he used to, which is his stated goal until he gets his body somewhere in that direction, and he's too bulky. As he got bigger, his swing got shorter, and as the swing got shorter, it got flatter, and as it got flatter and shorter, it got quicker. All of those things are still prevalent in his golf swing.
Excellent analysis. Thank you very much. I can't help but agree. I mean, I've always agreed with your thoughts on Tiger Woods. I think he's overweight for what nature gave him. And,
yes.
You know, he changed it too much. It just is. Now, what do you think he wants to retire? Michael Jordan said he wants to, but doesn't know how. What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree with Michael Jordan here. You know, the game of golf is hard. You know, you can play to a reasonable level in your 40s and still sort of hang in there. Vijay Singh did it. I don't know personally why he wants to play anymore. You know, amongst his friends, I've heard that the goal of 18 majors was never that big a deal. He's already, in my opinion, the greatest player who ever played. He has all the money he'll ever need. He could dive into his children's lives and his foundations and make a big contribution without all the frustration that it appears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his boat's named Privacy and his other boat's named
Solitude.
Solemnity or Solitude or whatever they are.
Yes.
You know, telling the whole world he loves his privacy. You know, I don't know why he wants to compete. You know, again, if he figures out how to overcome the yips and gets this thing straightened around where he comes back and has another run, it is great for golf. You know, there's nobody that moves this game like Tiger does, and I would love to see it. I'd love to watch it. I'd love to see him come back and play great golf again. Nobody moves moves us and compels us to watch golf to the extent that Tiger does. So I would love to see it. I would just be very surprised if he came back with any semblance of a game.
Brandel Chambly, golf analyst, Simon & Schuster's book out now, The Anatomy of Greatness, Lessons from the Best Golf Swings in History by Brandel Chambly. So happy that we got to talk today. Thanks so much for being on the show. A real pleasure. I can't wait to read the book.
It was my treat. Thank you so much. Aloha. Always enjoy talking to you and certainly your stay.
Thank you. Aloha, Brendel.
Bye-bye.
We're going to come back and talk about golf for cause. That's right, because golf is always there to help people. And in this case, we're talking about veterans, yes, but we're talking about women veterans. And that's special. Debbie Waitkus will join us, Golf for Cause, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get-together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
KPUA Hilo, KGU FM, Honolulu, KGU AM, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. Into the clubhouse, Debbie Waitkus, Golf for Cause founder. It's the 15th annual Golf Fiesta. Hi, Debbie.
Yes, it is. How are you, Danielle? Before we get much further, I have morning greetings for you from Marilyn Smith.
Oh, yay. How is Marilyn? A belated happy birthday to Marilyn. Please.
I will be sure to pass that along.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love her. I love her. Okay. Apparently, the Arizona Commercial Real Estate Women got together and decided to put together an event, kind of like a networking event, kind of like a getting closer together, building connectivity event. And that's how,
yes.
Is that how Golf Fiesta began?
Yeah, it did. And like you said, it's the 15th annual. And way back when, it seems like it was just yesterday, the organization, the association, had a little bit of, like some associations go through, you know, the connectivity amongst the members and on the board and, you know how women can get a little anyway.
Yes.
So they approached me and asked if I would help them put together an event that would drive connectivity amongst the membership so that they could just have some fun together and get out of their normal business suits away from the desks and just have some fun. And good golly, if we raise any money, let's donate it to a particular charity. And after doing that for a couple of years, they realized, you know what, we're healed, and let's make this now our objective about raising money and about being able to shout from the rooftops in the community that we are a cool organization and we do meaningful things in our community. And, you know, we work with a lot of groups, and sometimes people think when it's a golf tournament, it's all about making the money. And you really have to look at what your objectives are. And because golf can be used for so many different things, as you know, Danielle, and sometimes it's the outreach and sometimes it's the money, but maybe not the money this year. Maybe it's the money 3-4 years from now. And in their case, it was all about, you know, good kumbaya together. And now it's just, we do this around Cinco de Mayo, which is a festive holiday here in Arizona.
It's perfect.
And it is, you know, when you do something with a theme, it always lends itself so well for fun. And we actually have a competition on the course with all the sponsors on the holes. And we get mariachi bands. We get the whole deal for the best feast on the hole. It's just a hoot.
Yeah, you have a good time. Now, how did you get Hyundai involved?
A few years ago, a couple years ago, we did some work with them for another event. And they have their annual invitational where people who have competed, they go to 50 different tournaments around the country and get people who are winners from the tournament. And we take from the winning team, the people with the two lowest handicaps, uh-huh, and advance them on.
Uh-huh.
They then play in Hyundai's invitational. And I think last year, it was in Vegas, and then the
it was part of the Pro-Am in Hawaii or something that tied into the PGA event.
Oh, fantastic. So, at the Lotte. Yes.
Yes. So what I just worked with them for, because we work with a few different groups, for someone that would be a meaningful audience for them and a group that would truly appreciate their involvement, that it would be a nice win-win. And this is our second year with Hyundai for this particular event.
Yeah, Hyundai is very supportive when they were sponsoring, because they're not sponsoring the Tournament of Champions any longer. It's SBS. Hyundai moved to the West Coast to do a different event. But they did so much for the community with children, Women's and Children's Center, and raising money with walks. So outside of the golf tournament, they also organized different events to help different organizations that needed help. And what I like, when I read who's benefiting from your event, I've never heard of a Women's Veterans Center.
What's so nice about this particular organization, and in choosing the organization, the Arizona Commercial Real Estate Women looked at organizations that had a similar mission, vision, and value statement as their own, so that they could really live, eat, and drink, and breathe what they were all being passionate about. And Veterans First actually takes no governmental funding, so that, you know, if you were a banker, they kind of do their own underwriting to do what makes sense. So that if your time is up, you know, you can stay. You don't have to be there. But they're really all about stabilizing the lives of female veterans who come back from combat. And so, for example, the money that was raised from this event last year, part of it was used for a test educational program. Because if you think about this, Danielle, women come back and guys come back from their tours of duty, mm-hmm. and they've got that GI Bill for education. And they go to school, and you know what? They're not quite ready to matriculate. They've got all this stuff going on in their lives. They're distracted. They're not stable day to day to actually take on the whole education system.
Absolutely,
and,
yes.
And so what they did at Veterans First is they started a program that's a test program for these women to dip their toes in the water and see if they can handle it. They can get up to 6 credits. And that way they don't blow their GI Bill. And so it's been amazingly successful, and now it's actually taking hold, and these women are moving forward to go to school.
Yeah, so because it takes a decompression time when you come out of the service. First of all, just coming out of the service is such a huge mm-hmm. transition. And then if you're dealing mm-hmm. with, let's say, a little PTSD, which anybody would, coming from a war zone, and just no longer being in your support group. You know, when you're in the military and you're in your combat brigade, if you're I don't know how in your small group, you have such support amongst each other that you become a part of a whole, and you've come out of that.
Gone.
Yes, your safety net is gone. And now you have no safety net. So you're dealing with, okay, I'm on my own now. How do I deal? Oh, this is life. Okay, that takes a lot. And then you go to school, and there's so much competition in college and classrooms and just having to, you know, dive in and focus and be an individual. I applaud this organization. What is it called again?
Veterans First.
Veterans First. Excellent, excellent idea. So let's go back to Golf Fiesta. I was wondering, okay, part of the raising of the monies for the 15th annual Golf Fiesta, you guys, where'd you find all the caddies to auction off? I mean, there aren't that many caddies running around.
No, there aren't that many, and they're not traditional caddies. And for your listeners, for those of you who participate in golf tournaments, the way that most of the tournaments make their money is not by the money that you spend to play in it. It's really from your sponsorship and whatever the special event is, whether that's an auction or a helicopter ball drop. And in this case, it's a caddy auction. And these caddies are actually people who are in the commercial real estate business. They are men and women. And we've divided them up the last couple of years into two teams, the veterans team, because some of them are vets, and then the commercial real estate brokers. And they actually compete against each other. And they try to raise money from their friends and family to get donations. The caddies that raise the most money win a big prize and official bragging rights and whatnot. And then what
I had sent to you the other day is we actually had the official auction where the caddies are interviewed and they are auctioned off. And many times, actually the majority this year, were auctioned off to people who aren't even playing in the tournament who then just donate them back. And it's just a riot. And it's just another way to extend the community for those who don't play golf, and many of the caddies don't even play golf, but they can sure buy you a beer, and they can go find your golf ball and
right.
Put the flag and give you a little shoulder rub.
Right.
Help be a great concierge for the day. So it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a blast. It sounds like you're just having a great time. This is, by the way, I haven't mentioned, this is Debbie Waitkus, cause, that is Golf for Cause founder, Golf for Cause. And you can find the website if you'd like to learn more. It's simple. It's Golf for Cause. Is it a .com?
Yeah, it's a .com.
Yeah, golfforcause.com. But Debbie Waitkus is also an author. Get Your Golf On. Now, we've never talked about this book, Debbie.
No, we haven't, Danielle.
I know.
We haven't.
We need to do that because, you know, I'm on the board of the EWGA Hawaii, a founding we about 3 years ago. A couple of ladies got together. There were seven of us, and we decided we were going to make an organization, the EWGA's Hawaii chapter. So we really didn't
How awesome is that?
Yeah, we didn't have to invent the wheel because, of course, you have to get people together, and we put on events. And one of them is tonight. We're doing Glow Golf at Hickam. It's actually night golf is what we're going to do. You know, as the sun goes down, we're going to have a clinic with Charlie at Hickam, and then we're going to go play the par 3 at Hickam as the sun goes down. And I kind of like that, you know, when you don't have to get distracted by what's out there.
Right.
Hit the ball, right? It's going to go
right.
Where it goes. So we're just going to do that. And, we're just in our organizing stage, you know, and the 3 years we've...
Which is perfect.
Yeah. Getting the girls together. So that's what your book is all about, isn't it? Getting the girls together.
And it has nothing to do with how to hold a club or how to swing a club or how far to bend your back, as Brandel would educate us on.
Right.
It's more about all those soft skills around the game that you're not going to learn because no one's going to tell you.
Exactly.
And the things about soft spikes versus metal spikes and tightening the spikes and where to stand and what to do with the extra clubs in your hand and... And how to drive the cart, and what happens when your ball's in a hole, and what about what is that 19th hole, and how to play with men, and where to shop.
Yes, all those good questions.
All the important things.
Yes,
yeah.
They're answered in your book. We need to wrap up the show, but we'll have to come back and chat some more about the book and answer some of those questions, or at least get people to say, hey, you know, well, there's a place to go where I can get these answered. Debbie Waitkus, Golf for Cause, thanks so much for being on the show.
It's always good talking with you, Danielle.
Okay, aloha, bye-bye.
Aloha.
And
mahalo.
And absolutely, thank you for making the golf club possible. Futura Stone, Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company, your home project into artwork. Seriously, Futura Stone, only the best. And then there's these pavers that are really cool if you want to make your entire driveway using these pavers. And if you're concerned about your environment, you don't want any of the oils and things that accumulate on a driveway to get into the water. They have these filters that you can put underneath the pavers that lock in together, and they make beautiful, beautiful platforms for whatever it is you're parking. You know, they've actually made runways out of these pavers. Runways. They land airplanes on them. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's a beautiful golf course. Just tee it forward. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem, Vokey Wedges 109. That's a deal. And there are different ways to play Poipu Bay. I'm going to focus on, well, there's Ocean 9, where you play 9 holes in the morning for 99. And there's the 7 stretch. You can just play 7 holes. And then there's 3 holes in the afternoon. So think about that. I believe it's after 3:30, but call Poipu Bay Golf Course and get the exact time, because you get to warm up on the practice facility, get a golf cart, and play 3-4. It's a 3-4 and 5. It's 1-2 and 3. So you get all the pars, and you get to do it for $30. I mean, it's awesome, okay? And Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, give them a call, because it's got to be done right. Call Creative Plumbing. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.